I'd like to begin by telling some stories. My first time when I was nine, to Davin.
Dr. Binovich, I'm not sure if you have a problem. It might be a problem with your audio. I'm sorry. Is it possible there's something wrong with the audio?
Is this better? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So let me start again. I'd like to start with some core memories I have of Rosh Hashanah. The first dates back to when I was about nine. Young enough in my room to stay out and play.
You know, it's just back to that audio again issue. Apologize.
Okay. You know what? Let me try with a headset and see if that will help.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
Nope. Okay, is this better? Let's continue this slide. So I was young enough to really want to stay and play. The deal was that I would come from myself and then I was allowed to go back outside. I remember showing up at the appointed time, opening the machzor, counting the pages of Musaf, and feeling quite overwhelmed. Musaf was very long. Full confession, I still have a tendency to count pages and chill to see how much long there is. But that is beside the point. The memory I have starting from that year is watching my grandmother during the Tolkien. As field began, her body would be shaking, her lips would tremble, and tears would begin to cascade on her face. She wasn't merely reciting words, she was living and breathing them. She became the tefillah as she thought about her friends and family who had died over the past year and years beforehand.
The audio still keeps going in and out. It seems to be an issue with the audio still.
Okay. So what can I do? Let me try. I'm going to switch and go to another place. Okay. Nope. Let's see if we can get it by going here. Does this sound better?
I think so.
Okay, so let's give a try. Third time's a charm. We'll see how that goes. Her davening of Natana Tokef has become the gold standard that I aspire to reach that level of Anitva Lati. I am the prayer. Is that your memory? Because a few years later, and is in this around school, not sure. Graduates of the Hebrew Day School, and specifically Rabbi Cohen's class, knew that the first month of the school year, learning said Moed. We would begin at Rosh Hashanah. Move on to Masechet Yom Kippur. No, we're still having an issue?
A little bit. Yeah, it keeps going in and out. I'm not sure what the issue is.
Okay, so let me go. I'm going to walk around the house and get closer to the internet and see if that helps. Okay. The trials and travails. Let's see if this is any better. Location. Move on to Masechet Yom Kippur and conclude with Masechet Sukkot. Rabbi Shore, is this better?
I think so, yeah. Let's see how that goes.
It was only after the Chagim that we would begin whatever was the official topic of the year. And it's become ingrained within the one that was prepared for the year. To learn those Mishnayot. And it was the first year. And referencing the Mishnayot in Rosh Hashanah, I remembered them as well. It is to the memory of these two people, my grandmother, Chana Schneidman, who was named Chana because of the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and my Rebbe, Rabbi Cohen, whose yurt site is now, that I wish to dedicate our learning this morning. The concept of memory, zikaron, is one that is very what is the source for this? When did Rosh Hashanah become Yom HaZikaron? When compiling the tefillot for Rosh Hashanah, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola looked at the Pasuk in Parshat Tzemor, the Parshat of the Moedim, as follows. And for those of you who have the sources, it's source one. Are we okay with the sound?
It's a little choppy. I'm not sure it comes, keep going, mostly good, but once in a while it keeps getting a little choppy.
Okay. Let's see if this helps. Daber el b'nei Yisrael lemor b'chodesh hashvi'i b'echad l'chodesh yelachem shabbaton zichron trua mikra kodesh. Speak to b'nei Yisrael, the seventh month on the first day of the month shall be yom Shabbaton, a day of rest, with a zichron trua, a remembrance of the trua, of the trumpets, a holy day. As a sidebar, that zichron trua becomes the reason that this year, for example, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow the shofar, we merely have the memory of it. But to continue, from this pasuk in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, a breita in the name of Rava says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amru lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah malchiyot zichronot v'shofarot, malchiyot kidei shetem lichuni aleichem, zichronot kidei sheyavol lefanai zichronechem letova, ubema b'shofar. Hashem said to recite the three brachot of malchiyot, zichronot, and shofarot, malchiyot so that we may crown him as king, zichronot so that our remembrance should come in front of him, and how do we do this? With a shofar. So we have the mention in this pasuk of zichron, remembering. We have the mention of trua, shofar, the source for two of the three brachot. Where do we get the source for malchiyot? And a second question, on a more ideological level, why do we need to bring our remembrance before God? He remembers everything, even that which we have forgotten, even that which is hidden from us. Why do we need to remind him of anything? I'd like to do the first question now, and we'll return to the second question later on. So what is the source for malchiyot, the idea that we crown God as our king on this day? The Parshan Sefer Bamidbar that talks about chatzotrot in Bamidbar Perek Yud. The chatzotrot were silver horns used in the Midbar as a PA system. Think Captain Von Trapp blowing his whistle and the children come running from wherever they are. The chatzotrot were used to call the nesiim, the leaders, together, to call the nation together, to announce war, to tell the camps when to start traveling, to announce the holidays, and for Rosh Chodesh. And in Pasuk Yud, Uveyom simchatchem, uvemoadechem, uvarashei chodshechem, utkatem b'chatzotrot alalotechem ve'al zifkei shalmechem, v'hayu lachem lezikaron lifnei elokechem ani Hashem elokechem. And the source number four, the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, says that because we have the idea of zikaron, remembrance, put together with the idea of in front of God, where we have the idea of malchiyot, it becomes a binyanav, it becomes a standard that any time we're remembering Hashem with a shofarot, we are also acknowledging him as king. But also from this pasuk, we get the following, that every single Rosh Chodesh we would blow, and in essence, what is Rosh Hashanah but a Rosh Chodesh for the month of Tishrei? But there's a difference. If every other Rosh Chodesh we're using a silver chatzotra, this time we're using a shofar. And obviously, the stakes are much greater. This is the time of the year when the world was created. So by blowing the shofar on this Rosh Chodesh, we're doing more than establishing the day. We are acknowledging Hashem as the creator of the universe, as the ultimate king. So really, the blowing of the shofar is the Kabbalat Ol Machut Shamayim, accepting God and his dominion over us. Why do we change the instrument? Why do we not use the silver chatzotra, the silver horn, and instead use a shofar from the aisle? Many reasons are given. The first, the word shofar is the same as the root l'shaper, to improve, and we blow the shofar to help improve ourselves. We hear the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, and we are reminded of another time when we heard the sound of the shofar on Har Sinai during Matan Torah. The Sforna below notes that we blow the shofar, heralding the arrival of the king, and that we have reason to rejoice that he is our king, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu tends towards leniency
when he is judging us. And of course, we blow the shofar from an aisle to remind ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedat Yitzchak, reminding what Yitzchak did binding himself, as if we would have been willing to sacrifice ourselves. And in fact, that is what the Masechet Rosh Hashanah in source number 7 highlights. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Lama tukim b'shofar shel ayil, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tiku lefanai b'shofar shel ayil, kedei she'ezkor lachem akedat Yitzchak ben Abraham, umale ani alechem ki'ilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai. Blow the shofar so that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will remember akedat Yitzchak, and that I will consider about you as if you too have sacrificed yourselves. Or in a slight twist of the Meshech Chochmah, that it's not just that Hashem should consider for ourselves, but that we should consider, we should look at it this way, and that we should be binding up what? Our ta'avotehem v'hargishotehem v'sheilot chayim al moked ahavat Hashem v'torato. To be able to bind and control our desires and our feelings and some of our questions because of the love that we have of Hashem and His Torah. These two things that the shofar is bringing up, the idea of Matan Torah and the idea of Akedat Yitzchak, will emerge as primal ideas and concepts in this day that we should remember. But to pivot back, we have three concepts added to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, each one in a different bracha. The concept of acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our King in the bracha of Malchiot, the concept of reminding Hashem in the bracha of Zichronot, and the concept of using the shofar as a vehicle of reminding in the bracha of Shofarot. These three brachot bring the total number of brachot for Rosh Hashanah to 9. Why 9? Again, the Gemara is going to talk about it, and this is source 9, coincidentally. Hanetesha de Rosh Hashanah keneged mi. What are the 9 brachot in Rosh Hashanah to be in commemoration of? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak de min kartgnin keneged tisha azkarot shamra chana betfilata. De Amar Mar Barosh Hashanah Nifkeda Sarah, Rachel Vechana. It corresponds to the 9 times Chana referenced Hashem in her tefillah after she's given birth to Shmuel and is bringing him to Eli, to the Mishkan in Shiloh. As Mar says, on Rosh Hashanah, 3 women who had previously been barren were remembered, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana. And in source number 10, I've copied and pasted for you the Tefillat Chana, and you can count and you can see that indeed 9 times Hashem's name is mentioned. Sidebar number 2. Amidah is a technical term for Shmona Esrei, but Shmona Esrei really never has 18 brachot. What every Amidah does have are the same 3 brachot that begin the prayer in which we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the same 3 brachot with which we conclude the prayer in which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The middle section is the one that varies. On weekdays, the middle section has 13 brachot of bakasha, of requests, bringing the total number of brachot to 19. We ask for many things, for health, for forgiveness, for parnasa, and the return of Malchut David amongst them. On holy days, in place of the 13 brachot of request of bakasha, we add 1 bracha of kedushat hayom, why this day is so holy, which brings the total number of brachot in the Amidah to 7. So on Shabbat, we add the bracha of kedushat hayom about Shabbat. On Rosh Chodesh, it is kedushat Rosh Chodesh. On Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, we discuss the kedusha of Yom Tov. On Rosh Hashanah, the 7th bracha discusses why Rosh Hashanah is holy. End of sidebar. If we have 7 brachot for Mosaf and add 3 unique brachot of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, we now have 10. But above we noted that there are 9 brachot to recall Tefillat Chana. So how does 7 plus 3 become 9? Because really, we're going to combine 2. We're going to combine Kedushat Hayom with a bracha of Malchiot. Since the theme of Rosh Hashanah is acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King, the 2 in essence really talk about the same. And we can see that detailed in number 11, where the Mishnah is debating, where are we adding Malchiot? Is it with Kedushat Hashem, which is the third of the first three brachot, acknowledging Shem Hashem in his Kedusha? Or is it with Kedushat Hayom? And as I just mentioned, the halacha is that we go with Kedushat Hayom and we add Malchiot, and that is when we blow the shofar. We have three unique brachot, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Each one consists of three psukim, each one from three different sections of Tanakh. You get the idea that the number three is quite important. Three psukim come from Torah, three from Ketuvim, really from Tehillim, and three from Nevi'im. Why in that order? Why is it Torah, Ketuvim, and Nevi'im? We call it Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. So a number of answers. First of all, chronologically, some of Ketuvim were written concurrently to Nevi'im. So it's not as if Nevi'im happened first and then Ketuvim. Think of Megillat Rut taking place in the time of the Shoftim. Think Kohelet, Shir HaShirim, and Mishlei, written by Shlomo. Think of Tehillim, written by David HaMelech. So if we're not going chronologically, what then is the order? Nevi'im are of a higher level of Kedusha. So after the Torah, about which there's no question, of course that's coming first. When given a choice between continuing on with Ketuvim or Nevi'im, we're going to opt with Ketuvim in order la'alot b'kedusha, to go on to the next holiest level of Sifrei Kodesh with the Nevi'im afterwards. So we have three from Torah, three from Ketuvim, the Tehillim, and three from Nevi'im. And then the segment is going to conclude with one pasuk from the Torah, the once it is from Navi, and that becomes the punchline, the ask, for a total of 10 psukim. If three was important till now, now we have to pivot and ask, why 10? And the Mishnah in source 12 is going to state for us that we never have less than 10 brachot in each of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. Why 10? Here in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, source 13, we're going to start seeing a number of reasons. The first one is again a correspondence. 10 psukim of Malchiot to correspond to the 10 times the word Halleluhu is mentioned in Perek 150, Perek Kufnun of Sefer Tehillim, the last Perek of Tehillim, which if you see in source 14, also, the includes the idea that we praise him b'teka shofar. It says halleluhu 10 times, so we're going to put 10 brachot or 10 psukim in each one of these three brachot. Fine, that's reason number one. Rav Yosef, again in source 13, Rav Yosef Omer k'neged eseret hadibrot, that we're going to put 10 psukim in each of these brachot to correspond to the 10 dibrot that were said to Moshe on Har Sinai. Why are we trying to remember Har Sinai? There are going to be some obvious reasons which we'll touch upon, but for right now, let's look at source 15, because on Har Sinai, a kol shofar featured. Vayhi kol ha-shofar holech v'chazek me'od, Moshe yedaber v'alokim ya'anenu bekol. One of the sounds that all of Bnei Israel heard on that day, when Hashem is telling Moshe the Dibrot and Moshe is telling them to us, they all heard the kol shofar. So we're going to have 10 psukim in these brachot as well. A third reason in this Gemara, again, source 13, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Keneged Asara Mamarot Shebahen Nivra HaOlam, that we're going to recall the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. That it said, Vayomer Elohim, 10 times, and that is how he created. If we did the counting there, we'd actually see 9, and the first one is considered to be Bereshit Bara Elohim as the first Ma'amar. But this brings us to source 16, the Mishnah in Perkei Avot and Perkei, which begins a long list of things that have the number 10. So one of them in Mishnah Aleph is what we mentioned, what we referenced, that Hashem created the world with 10 utterances. So those are all the reasons why we have 10 psukim in the brachot of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. But I want to continue on in that Mishnah, in that parak in Masechet Avot, and offer some other numbers 10 that occur. While they're not mentioned in the Gemara in source 13, perhaps they are relevant as well. So source 17, Mishnah Gimel, reminds us, Asara nisyonot nitnasa Avraham Avinu alav shalom v'amad bekulam, that Hashem tested Avraham with 10 different tests, including that of Akedat Yitzchak, and Avraham passed them all. In source 17, we go to another series of tens, 10 miracles that were done to our forefathers in Egypt as Hashem was taking them out, and 10 nisyonot, nisu avotenu etam akom baruchu bamidbar, the 10 times that Bnei Israel tested Hashem in the desert. We can also sort of switch that idea, 10 times Hashem tested us in the desert. And in a literal case of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, the Bnei Israel who survived the tests, the times that Hashem tested us by withholding water, by withholding food, by bringing wars, were 10 times we learned to what extent we could rely on Hashem in the Midbar to provide for us, to protect for us. We went out to the desert. We were willing to follow him. And again, this is one of the themes we recall on Rosh Hashanah. And it was hard. And we stood up ultimately to the challenge and persevered. What do we see in each of the 10 brachot that are going to be brought in the bracha of Zichronot? So you'll see sources 19, 20, and 21. It would be lovely if we could get three different ideas, one from the psukim from Torah, one from Tehillim, and one from Navi. It doesn't quite work out that neatly, but I think we're still going to be able to emerge with three different themes. So looking at the brachot for the psukim, for the bracha of Zichronot coming from the Torah, we start with Bereshit, Perek Chet, and Noach. Vayizkor Elokim et Noach ve'et kol hachaya ve'et kol habehema asher ito bateva, vayaver Elokim ruach al haaretz vayasoku hamayim. Hashem remembered Noach and all the animals that were with him in the Teva, and he made a wind pass over the land, and the waters subsided. And soon after, the waters will then go down, and Noach will be able to emerge from the Teva and start a world, a brave new world. So we have the brit that Hashem made with Noach, really a brit that he's making with mankind, because he promises Noach soon after that he'll never destroy the world again with a flood. And we need to recall that if Rosh Hashanah talks about creating the world, what we really have here is creation story number two, since all of humanity and all of animal life and all of life is going to emerge from the Teva and start again. So that's the first pasuk. The second in Shmot, Vayishma Elokim et Nakatam, Vayizkor Elokim et Brito, et Avraham, et Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If the first time Hashem is remembering the brit, the treaty he made with mankind, here he's remembering the specific brit that he made with Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov prior to redeeming his promise to Avraham, prior to taking Bnei Israel out of Egypt. The next pasuk that I haven't quoted here, that isn't in the tefillah, Vayar Elokim et Bnei Israel, Vayeda Elokim. He saw Bnei Israel, he knew their suffering, and they'll send Moshe Rabbeinu to begin the process of redeeming us from slavery, of taking us out of Egypt. And in Vayikra, the third pasuk of Zikaron in this bracha, V'zacharti et briti Yaakov, v'avet briti Yitzchak, v'avet briti Avraham eskor, v'haaretz eskor. This pasuk is part of the Tochacha in Sefer Vayikra, in Bechukotai, that we read, we read the ones in Tvarim not so long ago. And the theme here is that there's going to be a time when we anger God, when he's going to punish us, when he's going to exile us from the land. But it's never going to be forever, because Hashem will remember the promise he made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the promise to bring their children, us, Bnei Israel, back to the land of Israel, and will help us do tshuva in order to keep that promise. So we have within the Torah section the promise made to mankind and the promise made to the Avot, and a hint of the promise made to Bnei Israel as well. The three psukim in Ketuvim are all going to be praise to Hashem for this brit, this covenant that he made to us. Zechar asal niflotav, chanun v'rachum Hashem. He made a memorial for his works. He is gracious and full of compassion. Teref natan liriav, yizkor le'olam brito. He gives food to those who fear him. He remembers his brit. Vayizkor lahem brito, v'yinachem kerov chasadav. He remembers the brit that he made. The pasuk again that preceded this one is that he saw Bnei Israel crying out in their distress. He remembers the brit he made with us, and we're able to do tshuva, and he forgives us. So the overwhelming theme of the psukim from Tehillim is Hashem remembering his brit and Hashem being gracious and willing to accept our forgiveness, our tshuva. What about the psukim in Navi? In Yirmiyahu, Perek Bet, Haloch vekarate bozne Yerushalayim lemor, Ko amar Hashem, zacharti lach chesed neurayich, ahavat klulotayich, lechtech acharai b'midbar, be'eretz lo zru'ah. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to remind Bnei Israel, I remember you when you were young, when you as a nation were young, that you followed me into the desert in a land that was not sown. I remember you during the time of the Midbar. The second pasuk from Yechezkel, V'zacharti ani abriti otach b'mei ne'urayich v'hakimoti lach brit olam. Again, Hashem is recalling the brit he made when we were a young nation as we exited from Mitzrayim, and that he had promised then to make a brit, and he's remembering that promise. And the third pasuk, going back to Yirmiyahu, this time from Perek Lamed Aleph, Haben yakir li Ephraim im yelet she'ashuim, kimidei dabri bo, zachor eskarenu od, al ken hamu me'ai lo rachem acharamenu ne'um Hashem. Remembering Ephraim as a darling child, speaking of him, remembering of him, yearning for him, having compassion for him. So here, remembering the brit Sinai, the brit he made with us in Har Sinai, that we became his nation, that he became our God, that he took us to be his nation because we were willing to follow Moshe into the desert, that we were willing to stand on Har Sinai to say Na'aseh v'nishma, to accept the mitzvot, first agreeing to them all without even hearing them. At this point, I want to pivot back to a question I asked earlier and said would get to. Why on earth do we need to bring the zichronot before Hashem? Doesn't he remember? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, in a zicha he gave in 5734 on remembrance, notes that there are two types of remembering. One is a reservoir of the past, an amassing of facts, of reviewing of information as it were. But the second type of remembering, he notes, is remembering the covenant between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael, the selflessness of our forefathers and their descendants as its source and for its sake. The character of the remembering here is not one of bare factual knowledge, but rather of spiritual connection. The spiritual connection, Rav Aaron reminds us, results in action. Hashem remembers Noah, and the waters recede so that Noah can exit from the Teva. Hashem remembers Rachel, and opens up her womb, and she gives birth to Yosef. Hashem remembers Bnei Israel's suffering in Egypt and sends Moshe to save them. So what we're doing here in the reminding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not amassing the facts for him. He knows them. But we're bringing the memories forward as in, okay, set a timer now. Let's begin to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember all of these things that stand in front of us and stand behind us, remembering these memories are protexia, why we can stand before you today and ask for a good decree. But as much as the Gemara was talking about that we're bringing these memories in front of Hashem to remind him, by gathering these memories, by amassing them, we're also reminding ourselves of them. And through these memories, our obligations on three different levels. Of Brit Enoshut, of the Brit that Hashem made with humanity and which we accepted to behave in a certain way. Of Brit Avot, of the covenant that he started with Abraham and continued with Yaakov and Yitzchak. And of Brit Sinai. As members of the human race, we don't know why Hashem created the world or why he created man. But once he did, we have an obligation to act in a certain way, to care for the other creatures and for the creations of God. As members of Zera Avraham, of Avraham who believes so firmly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested him 10 times, Avraham never wavered, who went on to teach his children, Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem, Lasot Tzedakah U'Mishpat, of doing righteousness and justness. And as members of Bnei Israel, who stood on Har Sinai and received the Torah, who followed Hashem in the desert with no food and no water, yes, they complained 10 times. They were part of a test that Hashem set for us. And the generation that emerged from the desert became the generation to enter Eretz Yisrael to fulfill the promise that Hashem made to Abraham so many years ago. This year has been an incredibly difficult one. As we recite the Netana Tokef next week, I can't but imagine how people are going to relate to the words, Mi yichyeh u'mi yamut, who's going to live and who's going to die. Mi bekitso u'mi lo bekitso, who in the right time, who not in the right time. Mi bamayim u'mi ba'esh, as much as COVID is terrorizing the world, there are places that have fires burning and people dying of them as well. Mi barash umi ba magefa, who from earthquakes and who from plagues. I don't know why we have this magefa. No one knows, any more than I know why God created the world and created man and created Bnei Israel. We didn't have a choice. It's not something we asked for. And the devastation that it has caused is unbelievable to so many. What we do have a choice in, however, is how we choose to remember the year that has been. And moving forward, I hope that I can add this year and the last 6 months to my core memories of Rosh Hashanah. If I began with a story that represented Brit Avot, my grandmother, and Brit Sinai, my Rebbe, perhaps this year I will be able to add a core memory of Brit Enoshut. A silver lining that has emerged from this virus is the amount of chesed that has taken place. From the healthcare workers who have risked their lives caring for those who are sick, to the workers who kept basic services running on a daily basis, to the teachers who put in countless hours to make sure their students were learning, to the many individuals who went out of their way trying to help those who could not get out of their house at all, who found ways to continue to be Menachem Avel, to see that those who died had a proper kavura, to visit the sick, to celebrate the births and the weddings, to make sure that life continued. In the face of all of this devastation, we have seen a level of humanity come up in the likes of which we haven't seen for a while. Sefer Tehillim shows us that there are two ways that Hashem or that we can look on man. One way, in Tehillim Kuf Mem Dalet, source 22, Hashem ma adam v'tida'ehu ben enosh v'tachshevehu, adam lehevel dama yamav kitzel over. Hashem, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, the son of man that thou takest account? Man is like a breath, his days are a shadow that passes away. In other words, man is nothing. What we have done has no meaning. But there's another way that Tehillim looks at mankind, and this is actually much earlier on in Tehillim, Perek Chet. Ma enosh ki tizkarenu, uven adam ki tifkedenu, v'tachzirehu me'at me'elokim, v'chavod v'hadar te'atrehu. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou thinkest of him? You was made him but a little bit lower than the angels and crowned him with glory. This year, in the actions that we do, we have the opportunity to become the latter. And I hope that that is something we can all remember going forward. Thank you, and best wishes for a Shana Tova u'Mevurechet.